Hello, welcome to the Tuesday, April 9th, 2013 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. And in case you have forgotten, today is Microsoft's Patch Tuesday, so be ready for 9 bulletins, 2 of which are expected to be critical. And as talked about last week when the pre-announcement came out, there's this one bulletin with a roll-up patch for Internet Explorer. That's probably the one that you should expedite and look at first, because it will likely fix the pwn-to-own bugs that were discovered during CanSec West. But let's see what we have in other news, and the one item that sticks out here is a vulnerability in AirDroid. AirDroid is a management application for Android phones, and it suffers from a cross-site scripting vulnerability. What this means is that once a phone is paired with AirDroid and managed by AirDroid, the owner of the phone or whoever gets a hold of the phone could then send a malicious message to the management console that could then be used to essentially steal credentials, do cross-site request forging, or launch a slew of other attacks against the management console. So far, it doesn't look like there's a patch available for this problem. However, exploitation is somewhat limited, because in order to exploit the bug or to connect to AirDroid for that matter, both AirDroid and the phone have to be on the same Wi-Fi network, which makes exploitation somewhat less likely. And then, in a sign that hacking and attacks doesn't always hurt the trust people have in certain products, Bitcoin reached yet a new high. There are now about $2 billion worth of Bitcoins in circulation. And as of yesterday, Bitcoin reached this milestone for the first time. This may actually be another instance of where a brand that's not very well known to the general public actually gets a lift from attacks like this, because they cause the particular brand here, in this case Bitcoin, to be discussed in the mass media, and actually now more people know about it, are interested in it, and well, will actually buy it. And yesterday I spent some time talking about security issues in Linksys routers. Well, D-Link, the competitor of Linksys, isn't quite without flaws either. And yesterday an update for D-Link routers was released. So if you are using D-Link, take a look and make sure that you're up to date. Typically, routers do not update themselves, and it can actually be a little bit difficult to figure out whether or not an update is required. And FireEye came out with a report discussing some of the trends they're seeing with what's usually referred to the advanced persistent threat. Now, the attacks that they're talking about usually start with the victim receiving an email with either an attachment or with a link that then redirects to the malicious content. In the past, some of the more skilled attacks try to make the email look like it is coming from a colleague or a collaborator. But what FireEye is seeing now is, in addition to make the attacks more plausible, the attacker does refer to a document that is kind of well known. So it's something that the recipient expects to be good. We have seen this, for example, with the APT1 report when Mandiant came out with it, that some people then published their own version of this report, which included a PDF exploit. So if you're reading in the news about this report and then you're receiving an email from a colleague telling you that the attachment is this report you just read about, then of course it's much more likely that you're actually going to click and to get infected. And then a technique we have seen with some of the black hole exploit kits, so with some of the more commercial malware, and that's that the malware requires user interaction to actually execute. This protects the malware from some automatic analysis tools that are trying to figure out what the malware intends to do. In the case that FireEye discusses, it took a couple of mouse clicks to actually get the malware to execute. We have seen this, for example, with infected websites where you have to move the mouse across the website, which is something you normally do as a user browsing the web, so it's not really obvious or conscious to the user that they just triggered the malware. Well, that's it for today, so thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.